Here's Nancy DeMoss Wohlgemuth.
I've been reading Pilgrim's Progress recently, where Pilgrim and his friend Hopeful, and as you know, Pilgrim is a Christian who is making his way from this earth to the celestial city, to heaven. And at this point, he's traveling with a friend whose name is Hopeful, and they stumble into Doubting Castle, which is owned by Giant Despair. And Giant Despair imprisons Pilgrim and his friend in a very dark dungeon, where he tormented them, as Pilgrim's Progress says, from Wednesday morning till Saturday night, without one bit of bread or drop of drink or light or any to ask how they did, and were far from friends and acquaintance. Giant Despair beat them mercilessly while they were in his dungeon. He counseled them to kill themselves, told them it wasn't worth going on, and that they should just take their own lives, and they thought that through, they considered it, but Hopeful was used to bring hope to the situation, and they decided not to take their lives. So then Giant Despair came back in and threatened to kill them himself, and just gave this very gruesome, graphic description of how he was going to kill them as he had others before them. So they had to go through the night with these wounds of the merciless beatings and the doubts and the fears that had been planted in their minds. Well, the passage goes on to say, on Saturday about midnight, they began to pray, Pilgrim and Hopeful, down in the dungeon, and they continued in prayer until almost break of day. Now, a little before it was day, good Christian, as one half amazed, broke out in this passionate speech. What a fool, said he, am I, thus to lie in a stinking dungeon, when I may as well walk in liberty. I have a key in my bosom called Promise, that will, I am persuaded, open any lock in Doubting Castle. Then said Hopeful, that's good news, good brother. Pluck it out of thy bosom and try. They discovered that the key called Promise opened any lock in Doubting Castle. They escaped from the castle, they escaped from Giant Despair, and the passage ends by saying, then they went on and came to the king's highway again, and so were safe.
You're about to learn how to use the key of biblical promise in your situation. This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wohlgemuth, author of Brokenness, The Heart God Revives. For October 9th, 2024, I'm Dana Gresh. Nancy is in the series Don't Lose Heart, something the characters in Pilgrim's Progress had to remember.
And as I read that passage about how the key of God's promises unlocked the door for Pilgrim and Hopeful and got them out of this doubting castle and the giant of despair, I was reminded of the passage we've been looking at in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We don't lose heart, Paul said, even though we're experiencing all kinds of hardships and challenges as we try to be faithful in serving the Lord. And what is one of the things that keeps us from losing heart? According to this passage, it's the promises of God. It's the promises of God, and we need to learn to rehearse His promises. We've been looking at how to keep from losing heart. We've talked about receiving God's provision, renouncing ungodly practices, recognizing the problem of spiritual blindness, resolving to promote Christ, relying on His power in your weakness. We talked in the last session about remembering the purpose of hardship. And now we come to the part of 2 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 13, where we're challenged to rehearse the promises of God. Verse 13, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we also speak. Verse 14, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. What is Paul saying? We have some great and precious promises. Actually, those are the words that Peter used in 2 Peter chapter 1, but they're talking about the same promises. The promises of God are great and precious promises because they are true. They never fail. And so Paul said, we have faith because we have some promises. Our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is not in our prayers. Our faith is in God who has made promises, and the promises are as trustworthy as God himself. Paul said, we know that the one who raised up the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. Paul said, we know that this isn't the end. that our sufferings will have an end, that this is not going to go on forever, that though it seems as if we're going to die, and we may die serving the Lord, there's something beyond death. There's something we have to look forward to. The one who raised up Jesus from the dead will raise us too. They can kill these mortal bodies, but they can't kill our spirit. They can't kill our relationship with God. They can't take eternity away from us. They can't take Jesus away from us. He said, God will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. You see, Paul knew that there was a deliverance coming. It was a promise, and so he chose to believe it. And I think about promises throughout the scripture. Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now, your night may go on for weeks or months or years, but the promise is that joy comes in the morning. That's a promise. Rehearse it when you're in the midst of that desperate or difficult or seemingly impossible circumstance. If you don't want to lose heart, rehearse the promises of God. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, I'm persuaded that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. Paul said, I'm convinced that there's glory that lies ahead. So he found the promises of God. He laid hold of them, embraced them, believed them, and was able to endure. And you see this theme through all of the New Testament authors saying that you can endure present suffering in light of the promise of a future hope. You can endure if you know there's going to be something to show for it. Rehearse his promises, cling to them. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Again, Paul is talking about suffering, and he says, the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. Having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. They will turn away from listening to the truth. They will wander off into myths. But Paul says, the time will come when you will be speaking the truth and no one will be listening. Do you ever feel like that's true in your parenting? You're speaking the truth and no one wants to hear? There are those times. But he says, know that there will be those times in verse 5. As for you, Timothy, be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Do what God's called you to do. Be faithful. Endure the suffering. For he says in verse 6, 2 Timothy 4, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. Paul was getting ready to die. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now here's part of what kept him going. Verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And that's what keeps us faithful. That's what keeps us from losing heart, knowing that I will be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, knowing that I will be in the presence of the Lord for all of eternity, knowing that my faith will be refined as gold. And again, you see it in verse 14, 2 Timothy 4, he talks about how Alexander the coppersmith did him great harm. He says, the Lord will repay him. Beware of him. He strongly opposed our message. He says in verse 16, at my first offense, no one came to stand by me. Everyone deserted me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. He looked back on what God had done in the past, but here's what he does in 2 Timothy 4, 18. He looks to the future promises of God. He looks to the future based on the promises of God. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. Ladies, that's a promise. That's a promise I need when the going gets tough, when I deal with just the ordinary daily struggles of life and ministry, as you do. I need that promise. Let me read it again. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed. Now, it doesn't say when. It doesn't say how. It doesn't say it'll be tomorrow. It doesn't say you won't have to endure. You will have to endure, but you can know that sooner or later, the Lord will rescue you from every evil deed and will bring you safely into his heavenly kingdom. And so Paul ends with a doxology in that paragraph, which should rightfully be ours as well. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. We don't lose heart because we rehearse the promises of God. We believe them. We cling to them. We rest on them. We accept them as accomplished. God, they are true, and they will be true.
Don't lose heart, faithful one. Father is watching you, there's no need to run. So don't give in, for the victor has come. Don't lose heart.
One of my sisters wrote me not too long ago sharing an experience that she had in China, and I thought it was so appropriate in light of the passage we've been looking at in 2 Corinthians 4 as we've been talking about how to keep from losing heart. She said, in China, I saw women weaving tapestries in a centuries-old way, backwards. Therefore, the front of the tapestry cannot be seen until it's finished. The back side of the tapestry is, to be honest, ugly, full of knots, and dark-colored and black threads. Yet one day, the beautiful weaving will justify the work. So too, she said, we see only the back side of the tapestry of life, and only a small section of it. Often there are knots, and the dark threads seem most numerous. Yet when we see the whole tapestry on the right side, we can't see that yet, but when we do, we will see how God has masterfully woven all the threads together. And then she put in parentheses, even wrongs done by us and to us. God is weaving all the threads together to make a glorious masterwork of art. As I read that description, I thought of a principle that I want to touch on today from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, how to keep from losing heart. And that is the need to renew your perspective. Renew your perspective. Let's look at verses 16 through 18 of 2 Corinthians 4. Paul ends as he started by saying, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, they're temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. You see, God gave Paul a perspective that we need if we're going to keep from losing heart. And it is this perspective that kept Paul faithful in the fight, faithful in the race, all the way to the finish. He said, we have a perspective that the hardships of ministry are redemptive. The hardships of life, the hardships of serving the Lord, they have a purpose. They're not meaningless. They are purposeful. And he says, in the midst of those external pressures and problems, whatever they are, you make your own list of what you're going through. Whatever those external pressures and problems are, he said, in the midst of them, you can be inwardly strong and renewed. While your world is falling apart, while your home is falling apart, perhaps, and you've been seeking the Lord and praying and crying out to him, and it's so hard to persevere with what you're living with the constant berating and criticism of those who are closest to you, whatever the circumstances that may be tearing you down outwardly, inwardly, you can be being renewed, strengthened by his Spirit in your inner person. And then Paul gives this perspective that also helps us to keep from losing heart. The pressures and problems you are experiencing, he says, will not last forever. The things that you can see, they are temporal. In fact, he calls them a momentary light affliction. And I think of that phrase, and then I think of some of the circumstances that I've been through, and worse yet, some of the circumstances that I've heard of others going through that are many times circumstances beyond their own control, health, finances, marriage, whatever, and these horrible, hard, painful circumstances. And I think Paul would call them a light, momentary affliction. He says it's light, it's lightweight. Well, when you're underneath that affliction, it doesn't feel very light. If you've been going through it for 3 years or 10 years or 13 years or 33 years, it doesn't feel very momentary. That's because we live in time. That's because we're so earthbound. But Paul said, I want you to have a different perspective. These afflictions really are momentary and they really are light. And the time you will know that for sure is when you get to heaven and you see that those afflictions have been working in you, producing for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It's just the opposite, not a momentary light affliction, but an exceeding eternal weight of glory. And you can't compare that weight of glory with what you've been going through on this earth. So don't lose heart. Hang in there. Persevere. Stay faithful to the Lord. Amy Carmichael wrote this little piece of verse. She said, "All that grieves is but for a moment. All that pleases is but for a moment. Only the eternal is important." Live in light of eternity. Keep your eyes on the things that are eternal. Keep your eyes on the finish line. And that will give you grace to keep going. Many of you have heard the story of Martin and Gracia Burnham, who were held as hostages in the Philippines by terrorists for 376 days of captivity. And as the story began to unfold, after Martin lost his life there in the jungle at the end of that conflict, and then Gracia was rescued and came back home to the United States, I was so stirred by the fact that this couple, for more than a year of captivity, steadfastly refused to lose heart. And then to hear the words that Martin spoke to his wife, Gracia, there in the jungle, as it often they were tied to a tree, did without food for lengthy periods of time, and all the suffering and the hardships they went through as missionaries over in the Philippines. But hearing the story of Martin telling his wife there in the jungle, shortly before he went home to be with the Lord, "We may not get out of this jungle alive." And in fact, he didn't. But he said, "We can leave this world serving the Lord with gladness." You may not get out of your jungle alive. Your circumstances may be so awful that ultimately it ends up taking your life. But one thing you can do by God's grace, if you're going to leave this world, you can leave serving the Lord with gladness. And I've thought about what a challenge and a privilege and a calling it is, in the midst of hardship, to serve the Lord with gladness, not to lose heart, to renew your perspective, keep your eyes on the finish line. And as you see Jesus there waiting for you at the end of the finish line, you will be enabled to press on and not to lose heart. Thank you, Lord, for the riches of your word. Thank you for the knowledge that our sufferings are redemptive and purposeful, and that our inner person can be being renewed, even as circumstances may be tearing us down. So, Lord, I lift up these friends and pray that you would encourage and strengthen their hearts with your word, and that you will not allow anyone to lose heart. Keep us faithful, Lord, trusting you, looking to you, leaning on you, loving you, serving you, enduring all the way to the end. And thank you for the promise of all that lies ahead. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Another sleepless night, praying hope comes with a morning light. And right now you're feeling like you've lost this fight, and fear is screaming out your name. When you say, "God help me," you wonder if he's even listening. Truth is, I wonder the very same thing. So you don't have to feel ashamed. Let me walk with you through this valley and tell you all that I've learned to be true. Don't lose heart, don't you dare let go. I've been where you are, you are not alone. I know it gets dark, I know it gets hard, but we're gonna make it home. So don't lose heart. That are only temporary are gonna turn to glory beyond compare. So don't lose heart, don't you dare let go. Better where you are, you are not alone. I know it gets dark, I know it gets hard, but we're gonna make it. promise God has made. You can lose the fear in the light of grace. Just lift your eyes to your Father's face. Hear the song He's singing over you. Don't lose heart. I won't ever let you go. I'm right where you are. You're safe in my arms. So don't lose heart. Don't you dare let go.
Such encouraging words from Stephen Curtis Chapman. Don't lose heart. That's also the name of the series Nancy just wrapped up. If you missed any of those episodes, you'll want to go back and listen at reviveourhearts.com or on the Revive Our Hearts app. We pray that Revive Our Hearts will help keep you from losing heart. When you're tempted to be discouraged, we believe these reminders from God's Word will give the perspective you need. We hear stories all the time of listeners who are encouraged when they do feel like giving up. Nancy is here with one of those stories.
I think of a woman we heard from who received that kind of encouragement. She's a stay-at-home mom to four children under age five, and she and her husband are busy in youth ministry. She wrote, "There have been days when I have been so burnt out and overwhelmed by the mundane tasks of the day. I've turned the radio on numerous times, and Revive Our Hearts will happen to be on, and it's like God is speaking directly to me. It's a word that I need just for that moment, a word that will put a heavenly perspective on my motherhood and my value as a woman." She went on, "When I felt like there was nothing left in me to give to my family, it was your ministry that God used to revive my heart to be able to continue on that day. Revive Our Hearts has gotten me through many tough days." Well, I love hearing those kinds of testimonies, and I'm so glad that we're able to encourage that young mom thanks to listeners who support Revive Our Hearts through their prayers and their financial support.
When you give to this ministry, you're helping women all over the world face every day with revived hearts as they learn to thrive in Christ. And this month, with your gift of any amount, you'll receive a copy of Revive My Heart. This is a 366-day devotional from Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth. For the days life feels like a challenge or you're barely hanging on by a thread, don't lose heart. We want to help you spend time in God's Word, which is what Nancy's daily devotional is designed to do. You'll spend time in the Lord's powerful presence and discover the strength you need for every day. Request your copy of Revive My Heart with your donation at reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959. If you are human, you've experienced fear. I know you have. But some kinds of fear are healthy. Others are not. We'll hear more about that tomorrow as Steve Canfield joins us to talk about living beyond fear.
We live in a culture today where fear is just overwhelming us. And the problem is that we have not dealt with fear God's way. The most oft-repeated command in the Word of God is what? Now you think about if you didn't know the answer to that, and you thought, what would it be that God put down and said in His Word more than anything else? What is the command that God over and over, to give thanks, to witness, to give money, what is it God has said over and over and over again? This is my command to you. The most oft-repeated command in the entire Word of God, what is it, do you know? Fear not.
Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.